Hallelujah to Jesus. Wow. And you know what? Also, it was our first time practicing live editing and getting ready for streaming, because we're going to be able to stream outside the UK live on a Sunday service. Now, for those of you that may not know this, do you remember Prophet Sean Bowles? Do you remember Sean who was with us? Right. He was the one who prophesied this building, and he also prophesied that we should podcast, you know, where you stick the broadcast on the internet and then people can download it as they choose. And, you know, last year we got 115,000 downloads of our messages worldwide, including Saudi Arabia, North Korea, places that you would only imagine that people could actually tune in and surreptitiously listen to us. And so I want to give God the glory for that. But he also, he prophesied that we should start streaming on the internet via the TV services, because there's only one other church that he's ever told this to, and that was some like podunk church over in, I think it was in Minnesota in the USA somewhere. He got the same prophetic word for them. And 12,000 Syrians used to tune in every Sunday to watch the live streaming of their broadcast. And this was a church of like 150 people. But God told that church through Sean Bowles, do start streaming, because there's an audience waiting for you that are outside the borders of this country. And 12,000 Syrians every week. Hey, so who knows who's going to tune in for us? Hallelujah. Just to see Ibby's shoes. My gosh. Are they nuclear? They're like kind of, they look like you could put them on the front of an F-16 and drop them on ISIS. Let me just borrow one. Don't even stand up. Let me just borrow one. Come on, quick. So I'm going to stand here now, and the meter is ticking. All right, then, wear your shoe and come up and show them then. How many have seen her shoes? Come on, Ibby. Come on, you're delaying the whole service now. I understand. Okay. Then sings my soul. Come on. This one is too much. Come on. Okay, it's going to become a battle of wills now. Guess who's going to win? There you go. Come here, look, quick. We can't see. She's pretending that she's shy. Can you imagine? Such a woman. Oh, my gosh. Wow. I think I'm just going to preach to her. This entire message now is for you. Okay. If you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. Oh, in fact, you know what? I am going to preach to you. Hallelujah. Are you ready for this? Romans 12, verse 2. Look at this. And do not be conformed to this world. Well, that's Ibby, right? But be transformed. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we would say after this conference that we've just had, don't be conformed, but be reinvented. Yes. Right? Yes. By the renewing of your mind. And the Lord told me, he said, point number one, he said, if your life lacks transformation, you know where to look. If your life lacks transformation, you know where to look. There's a transformation process that is for every single one of us in the body of Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. There's something special. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, God's got something special for you. But you've got to get the new wineskin to hold the new wine. I want to expose today one of the biggest tricks of the devil, one of the greatest con tricks that the enemy of our souls has ever placed in the lives of mankind. So if your life lacks transformation, you know where to look. Because look at what it says there. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Some of you that were there when I preached about being a contrarian person, when the whole world's consensus is going one way, you've got to look at what they're missing, because if it, the world moves in cycles. But God's people, we move in seasons. Amen. So there's a new season and there's a new day, and there has to be that preparation for the new season and the new day before the new season comes. Otherwise, you can't really grab a hold. You can't get what the new season has for you. How many of you know there's a new season coming on the UK called winter? Winter's coming. And if you dress like it was summer, if you behave like it was summer, hopefully you'll be sectioned under the Mental Health Act. Because otherwise you're going to freeze to death, right? So that's how seasons work. And I believe in this season that God has us now, he has set us up for something wonderful. Amen. Tell him, so, turn to your neighbor and tell him something wonderful is coming your way. Yes. And he said this, the Lord said to me, he said so clearly, if your life lacks transformation, you know where to look. The Bible puts it this way. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is the man. And we have to understand that there's a difference between the mind and the heart. It's really important that we understand that. Your mind is different to your heart. Your mind is connected to your heart, but yet they're separate. Right? Let me put it this way. Right? The Bible says that faith is of the heart. Right? With the heart, man believes. Everyone remember that scripture? It says, with the heart, man believes in Romans 10, right? Now, I grew up spiritually, really, in what people used to call the faith movement. Some people were very derogatory about it. They used to call it name it and claim it, or blab it and grab it. And you can go online and see how, you know, Kenneth Hagin was the devil, and then Kenneth Copeland was the son of the devil, and then Joyce Meyer was the female devil, and then Benny Hinn was the devil's brother-in-law, and then, you know, like all these people. I don't know if you've seen any of that nonsense on YouTube and stuff like that, but it does the rounds occasionally. But the Bible says, by their fruits shall you know them. Jesus says it's impossible for a good tree to bear bad fruit, and it's impossible for a bad tree to bear what? Good fruit. So we know who you are and we know what you are by the fruit you bear. Amen. Right. So there was one thing, though, that there were, it was like, if you like, a flaw in the whole understanding of how it is to work by faith. Many people took the message of faith and tried to superimpose the new wine into the old wineskin. So their heart hadn't been renewed, but they were trying to be transformed just only by the renewing of their mind, but their heart was doing something else. So their heart was believing, what have I called it? The Lord gave me this particular phrase this morning as I was praying about this message about transforming your mind. He called it ghetto conditioning. I like that. Oh, anyone grew up in the ghetto? Don't put your hands up. I'll just sort of stand in proxy for you today. But if you grew up in the ghetto, there's a certain ghetto way of thinking. There's a ghetto way of behaving. And it's down to everything, the way you'll dress, the kind of music you'll listen to, the people you'll hang around, where the lines are drawn of morality and ethics are completely different to that. Now, you see, one of the things that I had to get out of me after I first got saved was the ghetto mindset, because I couldn't put kingdom into ghetto. Do you see what I mean? So in certain areas of life, my heart was ghetto, but my mind was new. And what was that? That's new wine in an old wineskin, you see? And this was one of the things that I noticed about people of faith, people who really took the idea of believing and speaking. Many times they believed in their mind, but they hadn't believed in their heart. And so there was a deception going on. People wanted to receive something from God. They wanted to, as the Bible says, obtain a testimony. But there was a problem because they couldn't get as far because their heart wouldn't allow them. And the heart is where the believing process exists. We would call the heart the seat of humanity, the seat of your thinking. is in your heart. The very seat of your thinking. So that's when he's talking about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's talking about a heart that's already been renewed and then a mind that is just going to cooperate with it. Do you see what I'm saying? So in this instance, the heart would be the wineskin and the mind, the thinking, would be the wine. So Jesus said it this way. He says, you cannot put old wine into a new wineskin. Or new wine into an old wineskin. He said the wineskin will burst. In other words, your heart won't know which way to go. God's calling you one thing. He's calling you into a supernatural life. But on the other hand, we're still carnal. We're still thinking the way the world thinks. And the Bible says that the mindset on the flesh is death. Or as some of my Jamaican friends used to say, the mindset on the flesh is death. But the mindset on the spirit is rice and peas. Unless you're Jamaica, you won't know what that is. It's code. I mean, it's proper code. Now, turn to your other neighbor and tell them, the stronghold of your life is the loins of your mind. My next scripture, 1 Peter 1 and verse number 13. Look at this. It says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, any of the backstops that you had in life, if you're going to do this thing, do it. This is a hook, line, and sinker challenge. If you're going to do it, do it. Look at the King James translation, if you've got that there, please, Gifty, on the system. I like this. I like what there's certain things that the King James Bible got right that other translations didn't. And then there's other things that it got wrong. Did you know, for instance, the book of James, it should be called the book of Jacob. But because the King James Bible was translated under King James, they changed the book of James to the book of Jacob to the book of James. Did you know that? Imagine now if you're a New Covenant Jew, if you're a Messianic Jew, and you realize that some anti-Semite translator somewhere took the name Jacob out and put James in because James was a Scottish name. Seamus, it's a Scottish name. Hallelujah. Look at it. Look what it says in the King James Bible. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Anyone know why he calls it the loins of your mind? Anyone take a guess? Anyone take a guess? Let me help you out of your mystery. How many of you have ever done tug of war? Do you know how to win at tug of war anytime? The big fat guy on the team, you put him at the back and you tie the rope around his waist, right? Because that's where your loins are. Your loins are the strongest part of your body. In fact, when you're down the gym, they call it your core, because that's where your strength lies, right? And they just stick the rope around their waist and they'll pull. And then anyone, as long as you've got the biggest, fattest guy you can at that end, and as long as he's got the right stance, then you know that you're going to win unless there's somebody else as big and as fat on the other side. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is what he's saying. He's saying, gird up loins. In fact, what he means is the strongest part of your mind. Take that, gird it up. Be strengthened in your mind. There's a mental battle that goes on in the life of the believer. I experienced it myself when I first got saved. There's a mind battle. Do I believe what the Word of God says, or do I believe what circumstances, what the world says? The world dictates. There's a spirit in the world that dictates to us certain things. It's what the Lord called, as I was praying this morning, ghetto conditioning. That you are a certain type of person, and therefore you live in a certain place. You drive a certain thing. And I love, you know, there's certain mindsets even in the world now that are being broken. I heard the story of Microsoft. Did you know Microsoft has more millionaire secretaries than any other organization on the planet. Can you imagine? Now, anyone who's a secretary is automatically thinking, secretaries shouldn't be millionaires. Well, why not? Who said? Who said? It's like the ones where you have, like, millionaire preacher, that preachers shouldn't somehow be millionaires. That's a Ghanaian dialect, as if to say, I wish I knew the other one. There's another one that says, go to your mother's house, go to your father's house. I think it's a bit rude, but I'll learn it. Do you know the one I'm talking about? The Dangbe Gars use it, and it's quite, it's controversial. But one day I'll say it in Jesus' name. Millionaire preacher. Well, why shouldn't a preacher be a millionaire? Why shouldn't they? If you read in your Bible correctly, right, that the Bible calls Abraham, quote, the father of us all. Abraham had 318 servants and bodyguards born in his house. What kind of house, what kind of size house would you have to have for there to be, including their wives and children, the Bible says? How big? I mean, my house doesn't even fit. Like, there's six of us in my house and Sticky the dog and the occasional mouse that comes in when the winter is closing in. And then, you know, Sticky eats it or Roro finds it and screams or whatever, right? Well, we live in the country. What can you do? It's like, you know, we moved into their place, not them into ours. And, but like, my house is nice, but like, 318, are you joking? I mean, it just about fits six of us. Just about. What kind of place would you have? Imagine the expenditure. 318 staff, servants, bodyguards. That's amazing. That's my father, Abraham. If it's Abraham's, yes. I like that. That was like the icing on the cake, wasn't it? Absolutely. Praise God. So there's a mental fitness. There's a tug of war that we need to engage in according to this scripture. Gird up the loins of your mind. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, gird them up. Mental fitness is where the battle is won. According to what? The battle for what? The battle for transformation. That's what the Bible says. Romans 12:2. We just read it. The battle for transformation in our lives is fought primarily in our mind. And as I was meditating on this, I remembered certain things that I'd learned years ago, like Jesus, where he was crucified. Does anyone remember the name of the hill that Jesus was crucified on? Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. What's the first piece of the whole armor of God that's mentioned? The helmet of salvation. What are these? They're all to do with the head. They're all to do with the mind. And then Paul, by the Holy Spirit, writes in Romans 12:2, be transformed, be changed into another form by the renewing of your mind. He writes in Romans 8, he says, the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. I got it right this time. Life and peace. So there's life and there's peace. Jesus said, I've come that they might have what? Life. So that life and that peace is there in the area. So the mind is the real battlefield. The mind is the place where you can win or lose in life. How many people do I know who are weak in their minds? The slightest bit of confrontation. You see, if you imagine this, gird up your loins, the slightest bit of confrontation, the slightest bit of pushback, and then suddenly they're backing away. Ah, well, you know, the Bible says I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the linen to many nations and not the borrow. Hallelujah, Shandai. But I don't really feel that this is for me. I don't really feel that this is what God wants for my life. I think God wants me to be insignificant. I love what one of my friends said. If you're like that, he said, just find some corner and die. Hallelujah. We need strong people in this day and age. Strong people are the ones that when it comes to fighting the good fight, will win in the area of life. Put your hand on your head right now and speak to yourself and say, in the name of Jesus, I command my mind to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. You see, this thing will do you good. Bible says, do not my words do good to them who walk uprightly. So that fight is in the mind. You have to push through. You have to break through. You have to fight through. And sometimes it's a scrap. Sometimes, you know, when the entirety of life's circumstances is speaking against you, that's when you've got to come out fighting the most. I pray that you get the fight for success in your mind. In Jesus' name. You imagine that if I prophesied, and here's another thing, you see, and this is what prophecy is for. If I prophesied that you are you're going to be a millionaire by the next 2 years, right? What would happen? You say, oh, well, I'm a secretary. Oh, well, how can this be? I love, we were doing Life Changers yesterday, and we were talking about the angelic ministry. And you can imagine Gabriel, the minister of information from the throne of God, is coming to the house of Zechariah, a Levite. And he's saying, Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a son, and you're going to call him John. And this guy, now you've got to understand, Gabriel, 400 years previously, the same angel was announcing to Daniel that he'd come in response to his prayers and that he's going off to fight the prince of Persia and then the prince of Greece is coming after that. But God's people will prevail. That there's other ones like Michael, who is another one of the chief princes. So there's more than just Michael, who's a chief prince. Can you imagine these dudes? Hey, mommy. Wow. And this in comes this angel, and he's Gabriel. He's seen God part the Red Sea through the hand of Moses. He's seen 850 prophets of Baal slaughtered at the hands of Elijah. He has seen God conquer Goliath through the hand of David. He's been watching from the throne of God, from the presence of God at all these mighty things. And then you have little old Zechariah asking this awesome being, how can this be? And I love what Gabriel said. He said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. In other words, how dare you even fathom that my God couldn't do this? I could cut you in 50 bits and stick you back together again. Hey. Woo! Glory to Jesus. And these guys fight on our behalf. That's what the Bible says. Praise him, ye his angels, who excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of his word. So if you give his word voice, they'll fight on your behalf. If you sit there with your kind of, oh, well, I don't know how it could be. I'd love to do something for God. Start where you are in the name of Jesus. You never know where you'll end up. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Another scripture, Romans chapter 4, verse number 21. I love this. Romans 4, 21, concerning Abraham, the father of faith, the father of us all, as the Bible calls it. It says, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. I like what the King James, find the King James there for me, Gifty, as well. The King James version, it puts it this way. He says, and being fully persuaded. I wonder who did the persuading. King James. I wonder who did the persuading. Do you think God bothered to come down from heaven and sit with Abraham and say, oh, well, Abe, you know what? Well, I did this and I created the earth and I spoke the universe into being. I said light be and light was. Do you think God bothered? Not at all. So who was persuading Abraham? Abraham was persuading Abraham. Yes. Abraham was persuading. Some of you, you might need to spend some time with yourself persuading yourself that some of these things in the Word of God is true. There's something about it. There's a blessing that can only come from heaven, that when you are fully persuaded, when you are saying, wow, you know what, if this thing is true, I want to see it. I know I've got to gird up the loins of my mind. I know I've got to be strengthened in my mind because this thing is a fight. So I've got to dig my heels in and I've got to put this thing around my waist. The promises of God, I've got to bind them to me and I've got to take this position and I've got to hold in that tug of war because it's mine. I'm going to hold the rope with one hand and then confess it's mine with the other. But I'm going to get my victory. I'm going to get my breakthrough. I'm going to get what Jesus died for. It belongs to me. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I like this kind of stuff. And being fully persuaded. King James, Gifty. Have you got the King James? It's gone. You swallowed it. King James translation. KJV. It's worth the wait. Trust me. Here we go. And being fully persuaded. That what he had promised, that's what God had promised, he was able to bring to pass. May it be so in your life, in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm believing for some radical things lately. Some proper radical things. Oh, yes. And my God who has promised, he's able to perform it. I don't know about you, but this is what happens with me, right? I get a success, I get a breakthrough, I get a victory in a particular area, and it makes me hungry for more. Yes. Is that the same with you? Yes. Until I find myself, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen that film, Schindler's List. Have you seen Schindler's List? Yes. And you remember at the end of it, where he's looking at what he had, and he said, I could have sold this badge, and I could have saved another life. I could have sold this cigarette case and saved another one. And it's like almost the success that he had in rescuing the Jews from the Holocaust became the fuel to wish he'd done 10, 50, 100 times more. And that's how I feel with the conquests of life in my life and ministry. I wish I could do more for God. I wake up hungry every day saying, God, Lord, do it. Whatever you did before, do it. I want to boast for a while in the Lord and in the greatness of his might, right? In 2008, August, my wife and I, we went on holiday to Kenya. And my wife loves holidays. She would spend everything she has on holidays. She doesn't know the value of watches. She would spend a whole lot. What is the point of a holiday? Hallelujah. She loves holidays. We went there on holiday. I said, right, here's the deal, right? I said, if I can find a place to preach, we'll go there on holiday. So anyway, it turns out that our bass player, Michael, his father is connected to the Assemblies of God in Kenya. And so they said, oh, yes, we have a church in the Mara region. And the pastor there is Pastor William. Lovely guy, loves God. He's doing a great work out of there. So I went and I preached. I preached the morning service in his main church. And then he had a satellite church in a lodge. That's what they call the hotels where people come and stay. And so I went there, preached there the morning and the afternoon service, and I was asking him about, you know, things in his life. And I mean, anyway, the spirit of prophecy came on me. I prophesied. I gave him five prophecies, like machine gun, bam, 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 bam. And all five of those prophecies came true by the next year. So he invited us back. And so I think, did I take you the first time we went back? Yeah. So I took Pastor Toki, and we went there, we preached and everything like that. Now, he'd had three churches when we went there in 2008. By the time we got there again, I think he had eight churches. Then the following year, I took Temi and Mary, he had 14 churches. Then Joe and some of the doctors went. I know Dr. Funke and Dr. Remy as well. My gosh, you guys are brave. In 2010, July 2010 that was, yeah. And I think by then he had about like 14 or so churches, something like that. Anyway, suffice to say that a move of God started as a result of this like prophetic kind of revival in the Mara region. Today he has 63 churches. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. And we really got behind them. I mean, anything we could do for them, we've done it. And God has been just blessing. And literally an entire region has been transformed as a result of the power of God at work through us, right? You were there one year with us, Nick, as well. Right. Now, when I was there at the opening, the dedication, there's a church in a place called Ole Moncho. And we were there at the dedication. You and Mary were with me then, right, Temi? And so we dedicated this place to the Lord. As I was standing in the church, suddenly I looked out. I was in the spirit, and I saw houses and shops all around this church. Now, this church was in a wasteland, barren land. Like, for the next 5 kilometers, there's not even a house around it. And I prophesied by the word of the Lord that buy the land. I said, as much land as you can buy around this church, I said, buy it. Because they are going to give you permission to build a subdivision. You know, there's a town there now. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Anyone who heard that word and bought land will be doing very well. Thank you very much. Bible says godliness is profitable. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not wasting my time prophesying. Mommy, no way. Absolutely no way. But I'm boasting in the Lord, because that the goal that we achieved there, and the Lord said at the beginning of this year, he said, I'm changing the course. He said, I'm changing the direction of your ministry. He said, the next mission that you are going on is going to be in India. So I went there in February. Now, the same spirit that met us the first time we went to the Mara land met us there in Hyderabad, India. Now, I'm thinking, right? I'm talking about being hungry for success in Christ. I was just thinking about the conquest that we got in the Mara, where he went from 3 churches to 63 now. And that same spirit that was in the Mara has met us in Hyderabad. This guy that we're working with right now, he has 2,300 pastors in his ministry. They're connected in his ministry, like a ministry fellowship, right? Now, I'm thinking, if God can take, by the anointing of, by the oil on this ministry, if God can take 3 churches and turn it into 63, what can he do with 2,300? I'm prophesying that India will be changed. In the next 30 years, India will be unrecognizable. You watch what God does. Why? Because I'm hungry. The loins of my mind are girded. My mind is made up. I don't know what it is to fear the devil. I honestly, hand on heart, before God, do not know what it is to fear the devil. I don't fear him 1 minute of the day. Not 1 minute of the day. Why? The Bible talks about the shield of faith, whereby you what? Quench a couple of the fiery darts of the devil, but you'd better not stir up a fight because he might be coming after you. It's like one guy who was being prophesied to, Dad Hagen, said, you've got to rise up and attack the devil. He said, what do I want to do that for? He said, I've got enough trouble already. That's so many times the way that we treat the enemy of our souls. Why start a fight for my prosperity? Why can't I just stay small? Why can't I just stay insignificant? Why start a fight for my health? Why can't I just go to the doctor and be dependent on every single tablet that's ever been invented in the history of man? Why can't I get peace in my life? I don't have to fight for peace. All I have to do is take a sleeping tablet. I'll get through. So you're doped up half the day, like walk-in graveyard, zombie Christian. No way! In Jesus' name, nudge your neighbor and tell them, that better not be you. That had better not be you. I heard this. In fact, Pastor Temi said this. He said, Christians are like tea bags. That they're not much use until you put them into some hot water. And you know, as I was praying about this message this morning, the Lord reminded me of that thing. And you see, this is what he said. He said, the devil has convinced us that the hot water we're in is actually cold water. And he called it ghetto conditioning. I want to teach you something today about how to calculate your net worth. Right? Are you ready for a quick lesson?
Yes.
Okay. Think of everything you own right now and the value of everything you own. So if it's a car, you've got to take 30% off its value straight away because they won't buy it for less than 20% markdown and then they'll sell it back to you for 20% more. That's how car dealers make their money, right? If it's jewellery, then you've got to think of the meltdown value of your jewellery unless it's an antique something or a good watch or something that holds its value, right? You've got to think of the basis. Now, make that calculation in your mind right now. Right, to calculate your net worth, the value of everything you have, and then you take away the value of everything you owe. So if you've got a £500,000 house, but you only owe 400 grand on it, then you are not only in trouble, but no, I'm kidding, but then your net worth on the thing is 100,000. Do you get what I'm saying? I want to teach you this, how to calculate your net worth, right? Now, It's a tiny little exercise. Then the figure that you've got left, so what you have minus everything you owe, and the bottom figure, that's your net worth, right? And this is what the Lord was saying to me today. And he used money. It could be health. It could be success in marriage. It's just that money is an easy thing to do because it's maths. It's not subjective at all. The answer is either right or wrong. It's either correct or incorrect. Do you see what I'm saying? So now you take that thing, right? If you have a near zero or a minus net worth, then you need to set a target for your own prosperity. I did this with my physical body concerning sickness. I used to be the sickest dude in the block. If there was anything going around, throats, headaches, shivers, and all that, you know, some of those adverts, and I used to think, wow, that's me. Here's the Bible on one side saying, by his stripes I'm healed, and here's Mr. Circumstance on the other saying, ah, dude, you're the sickest dude on the block. This stuff doesn't work. So I had to fight for it. I remember fighting in the basement of a house in New Hampshire where I was over ministering once. But I lived there for 6 months. In a basement, and I learned how to fight for my health by the word of God. I learned how to listen and draw down from people that had fought that fight for their health and won. If you're going to go into a fight for your health, you don't want to be reading a book written by a guy who fought and lost. Amen. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get ready for that ruck with the devil. There's certain things that just belong to us. The Holy Spirit prays it in 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. There's things that belong to us that the devil has robbed us. You see, now, the point I've made about finance is that this is how ghetto conditioning works, right? You've got enough to get by. You're in debt, but you know you've got access to more debt if you need it. So you are living on a road called Barely Get Along Street, right? So you're going from step to step, but really you're not too bothered about it because it's not really hot water. When the Bible says the opposite, head, not the tail, above, not beneath, lender, not the borrower, right? So this is what the Lord was saying. He said that the devil has successfully convinced God's people that the hot water they're actually in is cold water. We've got to fight for this thing by the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I mean fight. Take up the sword of the Spirit and fight for this thing in Jesus' mighty name. And he called it ghetto conditioning. And he said getting up to zero for some people would be a success. When you belong in the pluses of pluses of pluses of multi, what did he say to Abraham? He said, with blessing, I will bless you. And with what? Multiplication. So there's a time in life where we shouldn't be adding anymore, that we should be multiplying. That it's not about me just getting healed so that I can be happy, me, the wife, the cat, the dog, us four and no more, but now I should go on, I should learn, I should develop my faith in terms of how to lay hands on the sick, how to attack sickness in other people's bodies. Do you understand? So this isn't about selfishanity. No, it's getting up to the point where you've got a testimony, as it says in Hebrews, and then getting you over into the supernatural where you can be a blessing to mankind. If all I do is prosper for myself, I'm not a blessing. In fact, I become a reservoir. What's the point of that? There's plenty of reservoirs out there in the world. Why would God prosper a reservoir? He wants to prosper a river. He has scattered abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. I want to declare to you today, come out of your ghetto conditioning in Jesus' mighty name. Prosperity that belongs to us isn't just for us at all. It's for God's house. We have an obligation to build God's house. How's he going to do it if you're broke? Someone, you know, comes here, asks for $1,000 for the building fund or £1,000, and like sweat would be running down your leg for a grand. I mean, come on, bro. Like, even back in Tottenham, we knew how to get hold of a grand. Might not have been ethical, but we could achieve such things. Hallelujah. Ghetto conditioning. Getting well so that I alone am well. Forget it. If that's all you're going to live life for is you, yourself, and you, then find the same corner as my other friend said and do what my other friend told him to do. Big, here's another one. Oh, Jesus. And this is for anyone who is in ministry or if there are any church leaders or pastors under the sound of my voice today. Big church equals 500 people. Ghetto conditioning. There's 60,000 people today going to be down the Emirates shouting for Arsenal to beat Man United. Remember your people. Remember. Yeah. You see, now that's a church. This is a ghetto. Do you understand the difference? Why? Because the devil has successfully conditioned us into thinking that a church of 500 people is a big church. It's a ghetto. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, come out of your ghetto.
Come out of your ghetto.
In Jesus' name. Yeah. We're conditioned to think, oh, you know, Pastor P is a mighty man of God. There's 500 people in his ministry. Please, come on. 60,000 worshiping Arsene Wenger. Well, as my daughter calls him, Arsene Vinegar. The bitter drink. Arsene Vinegar. Lord have mercy. We need to get out. We need to get out of our ghetto conditioning. That's what the Lord told me. He said, I said, I was thankful, you know, the way you are, thankful for what God has given you. Because we moved into a new house 2 years ago, and it's got 5 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms, and it's lovely. And Prophet Kathy stayed there when she was with us. And she said she never wants to stay in a hotel in London again. She said the honor and the ministry that she just received just by being in a family was such a blessing. It was like a healing to her personally for all that she's gone through. Hallelujah. But I was thinking, wow, you know what? I would love a much bigger place. Yeah. What does it say? 318 people in Abraham's house. Can you imagine if 318 people came to live in your house? Indescribable. Last scripture I want to close with, and then I want us to pray. I hope I've stirred you today in Jesus' mighty name. Gird up the loins of your mind. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 23. It says here, this is the Holy Spirit through Paul praying. He's just prayed about Ephesians chapter 3 when he's talking about the height and the length and the depth and the breadth. And then he goes from what we are in Christ to who he'd like us to be in Christ. He goes from anointing and spirituality into character and lifestyle between Ephesians 3 and Ephesians 4. And he says this, he says that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. Even while I'm preaching this message, some of you are dozing. And it's the most heartbreaking thing to see as a man of God. Because if I can get into your mind, I can change the way you live for the better. if I can get inside your mind, if these words can penetrate your mind and provoke you into the destiny that God has for you, your entire life can be changed. The Bible says the measure of thought, the measure of receptivity that you have in your spirit is the measure of virtue and blessing that will flow as a result of hearing the word. I pray for you today that God will release you into a new dimension, that you fight in the area of your mind, that you be strengthened in the loins of your mind, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Will you stand to your feet, because we're going to pray right now. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this provocation today in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord God, you will provoke us unto good works, Heavenly Father. That we wouldn't be just me, I'm happy, I'm safe, but that we would take someone to heaven with us. That we wouldn't be happy little me because I'm well and I'm healed, but that we'd learn how to lay hands on the sick for them to recover. That we wouldn't be happy little me because my bills are paid and meanity has blessed me. But Lord God, we would prosper your house, that we would prosper your people, that we would prosper the poor, that we would be eyes to the blind and legs to the crippled, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, that we wouldn't be just delivered from our worthless lives ourselves, but that we would take people into the destiny that you have given us as kings and priests in God. That you would take us to be what you have called us to be, the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, the lenders to many nations and not the borrowers. Let your banner be raised as your people go to war in the area of their mind, Heavenly Father. Let your banner be raised and let your glory be seen in Jesus' mighty name.